The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, first of all, there was that question of the chair of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell. Trump is not happy with him. In fact, he called him a knucklehead.
I think he does a terrible job. He's costing us a lot of money. He's a terrible Fed chair. I was surprised he was appointed. I was surprised, frankly, that Biden put him in and extended him. But they did. He's not doing the right job. We should be saving $1 trillion a year in interest. You know, when he talks about cost, we should be saving. Think of it, $1 trillion a year. Add that with the tariffs and everything else. But he just doesn't want. He's a knucklehead.
Now, listening to that, Biden put him in and then extended his term. But really, the real reason for Trump's annoyance is possibly the fact that Trump himself appointed Powell back in 2017.
As president, there are a few decisions more important than nominating leaders of integrity and good judgment to hold trusted positions in public office. And few of those trusted positions are more important than the chairman of the Federal Reserve. Accordingly, it is my pleasure and my honor to announce my nomination of Jerome Powell to be the next chairman of the Federal Reserve. Congratulations, Jay.
Thank you, Mr. President.
So, has his memory gone? Has his mind gone when he can't even remember that he himself appointed Jerome Powell? And U.S. Senator John Neely Kennedy warned that firing Powell, which was what Trump wants, would crash markets.
I think it would crash the stock market, and it would crash the bond market, and it would cause interest rates to rise, probably a 10-year treasury, at least 100, maybe 200 basis points, which would increase dramatically the amount of money that we have to spend in our budget.
So there you are. So for the moment, Jerome Powell appears to be safe. Terry Sheridan is joining us now. Terry, good morning.
And good morning to you, Pat.
So, Jerome Powell might last the day.
He might last the day. He might last a while. I mean, again, the whole thing is, does Donald Trump have the authority to fire Jerome Powell? We obviously heard he's unhappy with him. He wants interest rates lower. Powell has so far refused to do so. But the Fed chairman is supposedly an independent agency. It's different from any other government agency, and it was put aside so that it wouldn't be a political basketball. The president does have the authority to fire the Fed chairman if there is wrongdoing or any crime committed. But just because he doesn't agree with policy, that's not something that the president can fire the Fed chairman for.
And the impact that such a firing would have, I mean, there was that warning from the Senator Neely Kennedy there about what would happen to the markets. I mean, we had, when the threat was issued to Powell before, the markets did quake a bit.
Yeah, and they quaked a little bit yesterday when the news came out about this letter, or this so-called letter, that Trump was waving in front of Republican Congress people. The markets did go down until Trump walked it back later in the day when they were recovered. But yes, no, if Trump fires Powell, you know, who knows what the ramifications would be, but there would be a downturn in both the stock and in the bond market. And again, it's another knock against the full faith and credit and the stability of the United States economy.
Now, lots of things happening. I suppose everything's been dominated at the moment by the Epstein files and MAGA's disillusionment with Trump's handling of the Epstein files. And he's trying to bail himself out, blaming the Democrats, even though the whole Epstein saga unfolded on his own watch in his first term. He's blaming the Democrats, claiming that Obama, who wasn't in power at the time, was one of the authors of the Epstein files. Go figure.
Well, yeah, and this is where the split in MAGA has ruptured and is still rupturing. He's blaming the Democrats, although for the past number of years in the campaign and in the first couple of months of his administration, both he and members of his team have been saying, well, when the client list and the documents are released, it's going to show how bad the Democrats, this is a Democratic scandal, they're going to be the ones who are going to be most affected. And now that it's like, well, there is no list and the investigation is closed and we're not going to release any more documents, that goes to the heart of what MAGA believes. Now, could this be an Emperor's New Clothes moment for his followers? much like George Bush had in 2005, responding to the hurricane in New Orleans. Who knows? But despite threats from Donald Trump, despite being dismissed yesterday, they're not backing down. Those who want to see the Epstein files want to see the full files and want answers.
Now, the question of who's fueling this, I mean, we had those who were cheerleaders for the conspiracy and all of that in Dan Bongino and people like that, now completely, I suppose, embarrassed by the way this thing has unfolded.
Oh, absolutely. Bongino didn't show up for work one day last week as somewhat of a protest. It's unclear whether he will keep, whether he will stay in the job or whether he will resign. Kash Patel is also reportedly not happy, the director of the FBI, over this. It's a case where MAGA is figuring out, wait a minute, either there was never any documents, you know, so you lie to us that you had all these incriminating documents about the Democrats, or you're in the documents and you're hiding or destroying them. And that's the doubt in MAGA's mind at the moment.
And of course, way back, I think it was in 2024, Jeffrey Epstein's brother maintained that his death was a professional hit. So all of this stuff is in the ether somewhere.
Absolutely. And again, even little things for that were released, the video of the Epstein's jail cell in New York City, where one, there was the missing minute. And it was like, well, that's when the tape is changed. And that happens every day. But there's also been reporting that there are actually four edits in this video that they released from four different sources, meaning four different days. So, again, there are more questions that are being raised. And the way that Trump and Pam Bondi, the Attorney General of the United States, are handling this is raising questions, more questions than they are answering.
Now, there are a number of other things, and one very close to home for you, Terry, as Senior Director of News at WSHU Public Radio, is the $9 billion cuts to broadcasting and to foreign aid that has passed the Senate and is now going to the House.
It's going back to the House, where it most likely, almost 100% chance, it will pass and then go to Donald Trump's desk. About $1 billion of it was meant for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and for the stations, or ultimately comes through the stations. Now, for my station, WSHU, it's approximately 6% of our annual budget, the money that we get in. So we will be able to, things will change, but we will be able to continue broadcasting. Other stations, specifically in rural areas, it's as much as 50% of their budget. And these are, you know, stations owned by the indigenous nations, other educational institutions that are not necessarily part of the NPR network. There's doubts whether they will survive. And the problem is, in many parts of the United States, they are the only radio station or the only source of news for the residents.
So what do you think is the president's agenda in this regard? I mean, is it that he always believes that public television, public radio is inimical to his agenda? Is that what he believes, that you're all lefties?
That's what he believes. He believes that he and conservatives believe that there is a bias against him and against the conservative movement. And that's been bubbling under even before Donald Trump. And this is his way of dealing with it, which is basically, well, let's kill their funding and hopefully we'll kill them in the process, which he's done for programs that he doesn't like. I mean, let's not forget the other $8 billion in the rescission bill that goes to mostly to foreign aid for things that he doesn't believe. And that's where you're going to see actual people die.
Harking back to the disillusionment in some quarters of MAGA in the president because of the Epstein files, you know, Trump was regarded as someone who kind of walked on water for much of the time. He is showing some frailties, both physical and mental frailties at the moment. Is that up much for discussion in the United States?
It's up for discussion, not necessarily in MAGA, but in other places. Yes. You know, again, everyone pointed out yesterday about, well, no, you're the one that appointed Jerome Powell. He'll misstate things. Now, again, with Donald Trump, Is it that he's misstating things because he's forgotten or doesn't know, or whether he's trying to change the narrative? That is something that Donald Trump is very good at and very successful at, is creating a narrative that is false, but repeating it enough times so that enough people will believe it.
Hmm. And his besides his mental frailties, what about his physical frailties? I saw some pictures of him recently suggesting his ankles are very badly swollen. His complexion underneath all that orange makeup is ghastly. And that he's a man who's not in great health.
It's believed that he's not in as great a health as he does. There's talk about whether he is suffering infirmities of anybody who's around 80 years old, who's not in, let's be honest, very good physical shape. As you see pictures of him when he comes off the golf course, you know, very sweaty, very, you know, you can see that he is overweight, severely overweight. There are rumors that, you know, he, you know, suffers from other problems, other embarrassing problems. He's maybe wearing a catheter, you know. But again, all of this unconfirmed. And right now, as far as MAGA goes, it doesn't make a difference.
Mm. Now, finally, Terry, I want to play you something and get your reaction to it. This is with reference to Wall Street, where an online firearms seller is making headlines on the stock market. Grab-A-Gun Digital Holdings made its market debut on Wednesday with the stock ticker PEW as Donald Trump Jr. rang the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange. Shares of Grab-A-Gun tanked on their first day of trading on the exchange following a merger with a special purpose acquisition company. Now, Trump Jr. is the eldest son of Donald Trump. He's one of the company's board members, and he was projected to own about 300,000 shares in Grab-A-Gun, or about 1% of the company's stock. Now, here he is, Don Jr., speaking about the public trading debut to Bloomberg News.
The experience of going to your local gun shop, it may be fine for me. When I walk in, it's, hey, Don, how's it going? If you're a first-time gun buyer, if you're a female, if you're someone that's young, that's an uncomfortable experience in many cases. So Grab-A-Gun allows you to do that the way you'd buy everything else, like you would on Amazon if you're buying home decor or other goods. And so we're bringing the experience that they're shopping with everything else to the regular consumer, and it's been incredible. And so it's a company with real revenue. They're doing $100 million a year, real profit. And, you know, pretty kind of cool to take a gun company public on the New York Stock Exchange. That's not something that I imagine many people would have envisioned a while ago, but there has been that big pushback from a big portion of the country that says we weren't able to do these things. We were debanked, we were deinsured, we were de-everythinged for so long. So our whole thesis was to give a big portion of the country what they've been looking for and to free up and really democratize the capital markets.
So, Terry, what do you make of that? Grab-A-Gun.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things they make of that. One, is it safe? You know, is it in the best interest of the citizens of the United States that you could go online and order a gun like you would order something from Amazon? The other thing, and this is something that's been pointed out, you know, among many critics of Donald Trump and many Americans, is like everything that he and his family does seems to put money in his pocket. So the first thing I thought of before I thought of the safety issue was like, okay, what is the cut? What are they getting? How much money will they make? Probably, I don't want to say illegally, but probably not ethically over this.
Mm-hmm. Terry Sheridan, Senior News Director at WSHU Public Radio, happily to survive the Trump cuts. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.